It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The biggest story of the day is what transpired last night to conclude week one of the 2025 NFL season. What a comeback by Kevin O'Connell, J.J. McCarthy, and the Minnesota Vikings. And, well, the Bears, I guess, are once again the Bears, with now Ben Johnson as their head coach and Caleb Williams still their quarterback. A man that was on the sidelines last night does a great job for the Vikings radio network, and he's a former Minnesota Vikings linebacker. He, of course, is Ben Lieber. Ben, always great to have you on. How you been?
Well, I'm doing great now, Zach. I mean, thanks for having me on. I mean, last night was a roller coaster, as you know, that not much good things happened in the first three quarters offensively, and then obviously the dramatic ending. So, you know, all is well with me and everybody, all the Vikings fans.
I felt like I was on an island this offseason, and I know it's only one game, but I ended up picking the Vikings to make the Super Bowl before they would lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. And people would say, how could you believe in the Vikings? How could you believe in J.J. McCarthy? And I said, well, I know they have a great defense led by Brian Flores. Offensively, they have so many weapons. And I saw Sam Darnold look great last year with Kevin O'Connell. So I think when they asked J.J. McCarthy, who is a proven winner, to manage the game and maybe play with bumpers, or even do a little bit more, that he will be effective. So what I saw last night, don't get me wrong, when it's going south and he's throwing the pick six, it's looking ugly. But J.J. once again last night showed that he overcomes adversity and the guy just simply knows how to win.
Yeah, and, you know, I think when you add it all up, and, you know, we all know that this is going to be a long season. I didn't really expect him to come out really in the first game, and I still have the expectation that in the first few games leading up to the bye week, you know, it may look a little cloudy. There may be some shaky moments. It may not be totally in sync. Timing may be off. You have to add in, we still don't have our left tackle. Christian Darrisaw is still yet to come back. We have three other guys on the starting offensive line that are new, including Donovan Jackson, the rookie at left guard. That sounds like he played pretty amazing last night. I have not watched the film back. But there's still a lot of chemistry and cohesion that has to take place, even on the offensive line. And you saw a little bit of that last night where, you know, maybe it was a little bit on JJ where he wasn't getting through his progressions. He was at the top of his drop and still sort of scanning, looking to anticipate something. And then the rush got to him and affected some of his scrambling ability and affected some of his throws. So things weren't really in sync, you know, because a lot of new moving parts going on. And you throw in the addition of Adam Thielen, who just comes back, although he kind of knows the offense, but it's going to take a while to really get involved in totality. And then once Jordan Addison comes back, then you kind of like throw in another new wrinkle. So I just kind of give myself, you know, five games to really look at where he's at, where the offense is at. But when you mention the defense, I mean, that's going to be the calling card, I think, for this team throughout the whole season.
And they were hitting hard last night. Like, that was a vicious, fierce performance by that defense once they finally got going in that game after the first drive.
Well, yeah, and then you get freaking Caleb Williams, who's like, he's like a magician out there. I'm like, this guy, did he soak himself in Crisco? What did he do? I mean, it's like, it's so frustrating for a defensive player to work so hard because they're rebuilding their offensive line as well. They have a lot of talented guys up front, and our guys were working so hard just to get to Caleb, and then he would just slip through their fingers. And, you know, time and time again, his elusiveness, his athleticism just showcased. And, you know, I was watching that, like, frustrated for them. So, you know, listen, they went out and made plays as well offensively for the Bears, but you look at what our guys can do. I mean, that's the whole reason why we brought in Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen, was that particular, those moments right there to get an interior pass rush. We knew that we had it on the edges, but to get a little bit more dynamic on the inside, you know, you have some best laid plans, but until you actually see it, you don't really know what you have. And last night, thankfully, Hargrave showed out, Jonathan Allen showed out, Gank almost had another pick six. Grenard is such a beast in both the run and the pass. And then Dallas Turner putting his hand on the ground playing five technique. He was outstanding, especially against the run as well. So very, very formidable defensive front. And again, that's going to be what we talk about, I think, as the season goes along.
Ben Lieber here with us. The day after J.J. McCarthy's comeback, what stands out to you the most about what the youngster was able to do in his first career start?
We all expected him to play well when things are going well. But you always wonder with every player, especially a quarterback, like how do they handle adversity? How do they handle when they're the ones that are making the catastrophic mistake, like he did last night with the pick six? How does he bounce back from that? And I think he passed the test. And I would even say, Zach, from the very beginning, I was very impressed with just his command of the huddle and his command at the line of scrimmage. Here's a young guy in his first start, Monday Night Football, prime time in his hometown. He's got, I don't know, 100 people of family and friends there watching the game. The whole world is watching. People like you talking about how the Vikings could end up in the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a lot of pressure if you think about it. And from the very first start, he gets under center. He's checking defense. He's scanning the field. He's calling out some sort of audible to the offensive line, turning around, talking to the running back. Like he is taking control. And there was complete ownership from the first snap. And that happened throughout the rest of the game. And then, as everybody knows now, the Aaron Jones story that he told after the game about walking in the huddle in the fourth quarter, and JJ sort of looks around and says, "Is there any other place you guys would rather be?" And he's like, "Man, this kid gets it. We had every right to kind of feel down in the dumps, and this guy, just with his smile and that statement and that question, just brought everybody back to center, and they just ripped off three straight touchdowns."
I also thought this was pretty cool after the game, too, in the locker room, where Kevin O'Connell reminded everyone, and I don't think he was doing it to the locker room, I think it was for us, that these players voted J.J. McCarthy as a captain. And that trust is everything with the quarterback and those teammates. And it's clear that they trust and they believe in their quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. I'm the game well enough that there are some democratically voted captains, and there are some that just sort of get anointed a captain because of their status and maybe aren't the best leaders. And I will tell you right now that from the second he was drafted, I remember talking to people a couple of weeks after he first stepped foot in the building when he got drafted last spring, and everybody's like, "Holy cow. Like, we can't believe this kid just turned 21 years old in January. Like, so mature. There's a genuineness of like him wanting to shake your hand, get to know who you are, get to know your name." He just like owned that building. Like, he walked in thinking like, "This is going to be my place for the next decade at least." And everybody was so impressed by him from day one, and they continue to be impressed by the young man. And so, yeah, for him to put in that C, that was 100% earned, and it was deserved. And I love the fact that KOC kind of reiterated that last night in the locker room.
Talking to Ben Lieber right now, as we go to the other side, I will say, I thought it was refreshing to see Ben Johnson get some humble pie because, like, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm not a Vikings fan. But it annoyed me this offseason when he gets the job, he takes the shot at Matt LaFleur, and then he talks about the tush push, and he's like, oh, it's not an explosive play. And then in his first game as an NFL head coach, he didn't know how to manage his timeouts correctly. He didn't know what to do on that last kickoff. And then also, you blow a double-digit lead at home. I think it's a good little learning lesson. Ben, I know you're confident, but maybe you accomplish something as a head coach first because it's different as a good offensive coordinator compared to a good head coach.
Well, I will defend him in this. He did come out publicly and say that he told the kicker to kick it out of the end zone.
Sure.
So, when you get the assurance from the kicker, they're like, "Yeah, I can do that. I can boom it out of the end zone." I mean, all of these kickers in the league have strong enough legs to put it right through the upright. So that was a complete mishit. That wasn't a miscalculation and misjudgment as a head coach. So I will give him that. Everything else, I'm not going to defend.
He could have kicked it out of bounds, though. It puts it right on the 40, He could have done that.
He could have done that. But when you look at your kicker all through practice, and you're like, "Yeah, these guys can just boom it out of the end zone all the time." It's trickier now to kind of put it right in the landing zone. Sometimes you can understand those miss hits. But when these guys just want to boom it, they can kick it right through the upright. So, I have a lot of respect for what he's able to do. I think obviously the challenge for him is going to be, they don't have a Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think they quite have the athletic offensive line that the Lions had, ability to get up to the second level so quickly. I mean, they were unbelievable at doing all that with all the movements up front. I still think he's great creativity with his creativity. I think it's just going to take some time to get to know his players and what his players can do best. And maybe they're not the most dynamic team right now. I reassure you that he's a great coach, and I know that he's going to have something for us the next time we play the Bears.
I know you praised how elusive he was, and that's something that stood out with Caleb Williams. But if you were a linebacker going up against Caleb Williams, what would your view be of him as a quarterback now with what you saw last night and what you saw going back to last season?
I would say if I'm evaluating him as just a true quarterback, I just don't think that he's there yet. I mean, we're so conditioned to like understand what a true quarterback is and like quarterback play is. To me, he's still just a great athlete that happens to play quarterback. Can he do some really special things? I mean, that sideline throw early in the game where he broke out to the right. I mean, not many people can be off platform and put that much torque on a football with the accuracy that he did. So he's very special when it comes to his physical traits. I do think that he does struggle when it comes to just the progression of the offense, understanding, anticipating certain routes against certain coverages. You can confuse him. And then you saw, how inconsistent he was with his accuracy. I mean, late in the game when they had to make some throws, he was thrown at 10 yards out of bounds. And it's like, whoa. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm like, what do we have in this guy? He can make some plays and he can be dynamic. Like, didn't we just let a guy like Justin Fields go where it was kind of the same thing? So, I think I would still be in flux. And as a linebacker, going against him, I think I'd be more concerned just by his scrambling ability and then picking up scramble coverage than I would be about like, oh my gosh, I have to get to this spot because he's going to manipulate me with my eyes. Like an Aaron Rodgers would when I had to play against him, or Brett Favre, where they would intentionally bait us with their eyes and their body movements, knowing that I'm going to throw to my right, but I'm going to let these linebackers kind of shuffle over here, and then I'm just going to dink it over here. Like he's not there yet. I'm not so sure he can get there, but that's not the type of quarterback he is.
Let me ask you this, wrap it up with Ben Lieber, because you mentioned Justin Fields. We know the Vikings, right? It's going to be a story all throughout the year. JJ McCarthy and Sam Darnold. Things didn't go well for Sam in his debut with the Seahawks, and Justin Fields played well, really well, but they ultimately lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. How do you think we're talking about Justin Fields and Sam Darnold at the end of the season?
I think they're both going to kind of figure it out. I've always had a lot of respect for Justin Fields. I think for him, it's a Baker Mayfield situation where maybe rightfully so, a little raw coming out of college, maybe too high of expectation for him wanting to be this pure quarterback. He definitely is more of a passing quarterback than he is a scrambling quarterback. But I think if he finds the right system, I think he can thrive. I think he's got the right mentality. I think he's got the right traits. I really hope that he can have sort of a Baker Mayfield trajectory. What I saw with Sam Darnold last year, no doubt in my mind that he's going to be successful in Seattle. The guy just understands football. He's got a great arm. As long as he can trust that offensive line and he can get some time to dissect, I think he's going to be great.
How far are you willing to go, by the way, Ben Lieber, on Kevin O'Connell? Like Andy Reid, right? Sean McVay. I even got to throw Sirianni after winning the Super Bowl. I think those are the three best coaches in the NFL. I know O'Connell just won Coach of the Year, but what this guy's been able to do so far in Minnesota, it's really damn impressive.
Yeah, it really is. I know everybody talks about him being like the quarterback whisperer, which rightfully so, he's earned that. But I mean, he's so much more than that. I mean, the way he's able to communicate and build a culture on both the offensive side and the defensive side, he allowing B Flow to kind of instill his personality on that defense, but all the while keeping it within the same umbrella and the same culture of the team. I think I think that kind of gets overshadowed by this whole like, oh, he's just a quarterback whisperer. No, yeah, he's a great offensive mind. He knows how to get these guys playing on offense. But what he's been able to do to build the chemistry of this team and play with this tenacity on defense and on offense, all the while kind of keeping this like, aw shucks, very approachable, personable, treating guys like men without having to degrade them. I mean, it's a new wave of coaching, so to speak, but also there's old school elements to it. And I think it's so unique. And I don't know if anybody can really replicate that right now. So he's kind of one of one in that regard.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ben Lieber. You look at this team, it's one game. For 80% of the game, people weren't happy, but they showed an incredible amount of adversity and resolve in what they were able to do. When you look at this Vikings team, what do you think they could be this year? Because that's been a big question mark throughout this entire offseason.
You know, I'm with you. I think when you look at all the individual pieces, this should be a playoff team. And we all know that. I mean, every team wants to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. That's always the goal. But I think, you know, for this team, it's about a matter of just building something special to get in the playoffs. And then whatever happens there, you just take it one game at a time. I think they have all the ingredients. They have the coaching. They have the players. As long as the quarterback play doesn't get to a point where he's throwing games away, and they're solid in the red zone, man, who knows? I mean, I don't want to be one of those, like, you know, Vikings fans that, you know, wear everything with purple glasses and they're, you know, there's always a championship mindset and all this other stuff and just kind of like not look at things logically. I mean, I think logically we can get there. It's going to be a tough road. But I think there is something very special brewing in that locker room.
Good perspective. He's Ben Lieber. Ben, appreciate you doing this the day after the game. Thanks so much. Good to catch up.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, one more.
Yes. What?
I hate to do this to you. I had high expectations for Kansas State this year.
Oh,
What the heck is going on?
I
They
don't
start off the
know.
season with the loss, then they almost lost in week two, and then they just lost to Army. I am lost for words with this one. Sorry to do that to you. Usually I like to end you on a good note, but I'm ending you on a bad note.
You know, and I didn't watch the North Dakota game at all. So I was sweating that one out just watching my little sports app, watching the scores. I watched the Iowa State game and I'm like, okay, fine. You know, tough environment. You know, Campbell's always got a great team in Iowa State. So like that one, I'm like, fine. This thing with Army last week. I mean, we did so well defensively to stop the run. We were aggressive. You could tell that we were the better team, which you should be the better team. Avery Johnson actually had a couple great throws that we just didn't come down with. It was always about whether or not Avery can become this dynamic passer. We know that he can run. I mean, shoot, he's like the fastest guy in the field of all times. But can he become the passer when we need him to be the passer? And it seems like he's making those improvements. It's just we got to catch the frickin' ball. So like, I don't know, Zach, man. I'm still always faithful and positive, but it's going to be a tricky road for them now with two early losses.
Well, at least you got a Vikings win. That's all I'll
That's
say to you.
true.
That's how we'll make a
That's
bad
true.
situation and to turn garbage into gold. Ben, you're the best. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. See ya.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We played you this rap, which was 2 weeks ago, right? It was to open up the college football season. It was on Labor Day. Because UNC was playing TCU and JR was out and Shep was filling in and Shep thought it was a good idea to rap coming back from break, and this is what it sounded like.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Infinity Sports Network. Sitting here filling in for my man, JR. I hope when I talk sports, I'm not close, I go far. We're sitting here looking at Bill Belichick in college. You know he knows his football because he's got a lot of knowledge. I think I'm pretty clean when it comes to the rap. All I know is I have the feeling I like to dap. Sitting here with Evan Harkin on the other side of the glass, you know he is all knowledge and class. This is the end of my silly, lame rap. Thank you for sitting up and staying with me. Let's go back to our Shep.
What was the last line? I still don't get it. I still can't make it out because it's just incoherent.
Let's go back to our Shep.
Let's go back to our Shep?
Back to our Shep.
One more time.
For sitting up and staying with me. Let's go back to our Shep.
Let's go back to Shep?
It sounds like he's about to say, let's go back to the show. But then he goes, let's go back to our Shep.
Play the last 10 to 15 seconds. I just got to hear how the rhyming cadence worked there.
You know he is all knowledge and class. This is the end of my silly, lame rap. Thank you for sitting up and staying with me. Let's go back to our Shep.
Nah, there was just nothing there at the end. It was like Caleb Williams last night. Good start. Then one terrible finish. And I mean horrible finish.
I wouldn't give him the good start.
I know. It's just it was a good comparison right there for a second. It was. It's actually too mean to Caleb Williams.
Yes, it is. Although some call Shep generational.
So anyway, I guess Shep is trying to be a trendsetter here. So I guess this has made its way through the newsroom and people are starting to hear about the Shep rap. And people are then trying to test their musical talents elsewhere as well. This was moments ago. There was a buzz in the newsroom about this. I walked out during the break and people were buzzing two breaks ago about this song. So Marash wants Jackson Dart to start. So he ended up doing Sean Marash, right? Used to be DA's co-host here for years on the Infinity Sports Network. Marash, now he's a grown-up, so he goes by Marash, Sean Marash. I got to call him by his first and last name. Can't call him Maraz anymore. Never really got that. Now, that's his brand. People just continue to call him Maraz, but now we got to call him Marash. So this was Marash going to the microphone to create his own little song.
Don't kick it! Sunday and you don't want to go. Keep asking Brian Dable, but he still says no. Theo dropped two passes and no plays work. Man, Russell Wilson treats the pressers like we're some kind of jerks.
Oh, no.
You gotta fight.
Oh.
Says no way. That hypocrite still wants Daniel Jones to play.
Oh my God.
Man, losing at home is such a drag. Now your mom threw away your best Giants car flag.
Oh my God.
You gotta fight for your right.
Start Jackson Dart. Don't step out of this house if a Wilson jersey's what you're gonna wear. We'd love to kick an extra point, but even that is so rare. Joe Shane busted in and said, what's that noise?
Joe Shane did what?
Ah, Joe, you're just jealous. It's the NFC Eastie boys.
Oh, my God.
You gotta fight for your right
to start Jackson Dart. Hey.
When does it end?
Dart!
Oh my God. At least I laughed at that one.
There were some really questionable lyrics, but at least when the main gist of song, it's catchy. Now, I said a few weeks ago when we were talking about Shep's rap, how we needed a Randy Jackson, a Simon Cowell, and a Paula Abdul. And I said, Stu's probably our Paula Abdul, and I'm probably Randy Jackson, and Samter is our Simon Cowell. But Samter had some terrible accent. You know who's more like Simon Cowell? I think it's Ack. What did you make when you heard the last 45 seconds of that Mirage song?
Those are 45 seconds I'm not going to get back in my
oh
life.
My God. Well, can I give you 45 more that you won't get back?
You know, please don't. That's there's just not enough words to describe how bad that was.
Okay, it has a memorable line. There was some other stuff that it was nails on the chalkboard, but this was I'll play it one more time. This is not Mirage. This is new.
Okay,
you have not heard this because you weren't in the room for this. Mm-hmm. This was David Shepherd rapping coming back from break a few weeks ago.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to the Infinity Sports Network. Sitting here filling in for my man, JR. I hope when I talk sports, I'm not close, I go far. We're sitting here looking at Bill Belichick in college. You know he knows his football because he's got a lot of knowledge. I think I'm pretty clean when it comes to the rap. All I know is I have the feeling I like to dap. Sitting here with Evan Harkin on the other side of the glass, you know he is all knowledge and class. This is the end of my silly, lame rap. Thank you for sitting up and staying with me. Let's go back to our Shep.
See, at least Shep acknowledges it's bad. You know, the two of them, they don't have the basics of what they're trying to do down pat.
So this is where I'll just give a different line of thinking here.
Mm-hmm.
I know Shep thinks that's good. He thinks that's good.
No, I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
Ack, I was texting with Shep.
Uh-huh.
And he made it clear, my rapping game is better than what you were giving it credit for last week.
He was being serious. He could say that, but that doesn't mean he thinks it's good.
But I think Shep is being serious. Mirage, you know he's a buffoon. You know he's a clown.
Okay. You know, so let me say this. So if Shep perceives your criticism of his
rapping.
He was
offended by my criticism.
So if he perceives on a scale of 1 to 10 that your review of his rap is let's say a one. Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say two. Okay.
You know, I'll be nice. I'm in a good mood today. 2.5.
Shep probably thinks it's 3.5.
I think Shep thinks it's like a 6 or a 7.
That's out of the question. Or that's at least in terms of what it is. That's out of the question.
Now your mom threw away your best Giants cuff leg.
Like, this has nothing. Like,
now
he's not even close, you know.
On a separate note, my rapping isn't that bad. I did flub the last line. That makes it seem like Shep thinks he's a good rapper.
I don't know if... I'll say, okay, so we all think we're better than we are at things. I'm going to say Shep probably doesn't think he's a good rapper, but thinks he's better than you think he is. How about that?
Okay, you know what? I will let you have that victory on that one. But that's where, you know what?
Ooh.
See, there's been a long line in the radio history of songs that are made to be funny.
Yes.
Right? Like Al Dukes did that for years with Boomer and
Carton.
The Score
used to do great parody songs. Mm-hmm. The Score in Chicago.
Joe Conklin in Philly, the comedian, okay, with Angelo Cataldi, did great songs, funny songs. And you know the people singing always are going to be that great. That's what I think Mirage was trying for. I still don't know what Shep was trying for coming back from break.
I keep thinking of the character Hesh in The Sopranos. And Hesh obviously...
Oh, yes. Just passed away.
And he said... That I know a hit when a hit, and this Tatala is not a hit.
That
was not good in any way.
I think we should just create a standard here at the Infinity Sports Network.
No parody songs?
I'm not even going to say no parody song. But if you're going to put a song out there, it's at least going to be decent, okay?
Okay, that's
gotta
fair.
It's got to be decent.
Yeah.
It's got to at least be decent.
Right? I hear you.
If you think it's decent and it's not, then I think you ban for at least 2 months.
Yeah, these are just
songs.
Not good. They're just not good. I'm sorry. I love both of them. They're not good.
That hypocrite still wants Daniel Jones to play.
Can we at least get to the main part? Just for
he has no rhythm. He has no rhyming.
But no shame.
Yeah, it's He's not even in tune with the music. It's awful in every way.
Oh my god. Stu, just hit me with the main part of that one more time.
You gotta fight for your right to start Jackson Dunn.
You know what? The more and more I listen to it, I think Shep actually may be better than Mirage.
Yeah.
Ack, you've won me over.
Yeah. You know, he could have at least changed the lyrics to you gotta fight for your right for Darty.
Yeah.
You know, like just make it like a little more like he's a pal of ours, you know, or something. I mean, it was just bad.
I hope there's a behind the scenes video of that getting recorded.
Oh boy.
Cause that must have been a disaster.
Yeah. It's no Dan McNeil production. And if you know Dan McNeil, Dan McNeil used to do very good parody songs.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, where you will not be hearing me sing for the rest of the show or rap. I can guarantee you that. All righty. Here's the latest update. Will you sing your update here?
No, definitely not. I will. It's a public service. We're doing something good for the listening audience.
I think you should like sing the scores.
No. There are no scores yet.
It'd be memorable. You know, do a little rap on J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams.
There you go.
All right, let's get to Ack. We'll come on back with the news brief. All righty, wrapping up shop on a Tuesday. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, I haven't seen one of these in a while. An erasable pen? When's the last time you used an erasable pen, Stu? It's got to be in, like, elementary school.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, 15 years ago, something like that.
Who still uses an erasable pen here? Someone had to be. It's sitting right here on the desk in front of me.
Feels like a Perloff pen.
Yeah. Perloff definitely makes a lot of mistakes. And he's definitely someone who's writing something, makes a mistake, and he has to erase it.
I mean, you can't help yourself from just throwing
darties at people.
You're throwing darties all over the place.
Please, no, don't play the song again.
Shep.
Don't do it.
Perloff. Who's next?
That was Stu. Stu threw the
yeah, to be fair, that was me.
And I just said, alley-oop, boom. That's what I did. That was it.
I mean, Stu with the assist, but you slammed it home.
He was Kobe. I was Shaq. You know, that's just what transpired right there.
You know, whenever I think about Stu, the first thing that comes to my mind is Kobe.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you think of me and big people, you think of Shaq. Absolutely. I saw Kincaid, by the way, at the Eagles game on Thursday. And Kincaid used to host a podcast with Shaq. And I said to Kincaid, I go, my favorite Shaq memory was when I first got here and I was a part-time host. Shaq was in studio. And Shaq had to record his podcast. And Mayernick, or who's our boss now, he goes, can you do me a favor and just watch Shaq in the board? He goes, I have to go to a meeting. So I'm sitting there and I'm just like watching the board and watching Shaq. And then they started playing that song, Africa. And Shaq starts singing it as I'm sitting there and just running the board. So I'll never forget that. So I said that was, and like Kincaid's texting Shaq during the game because it's Eagles and Cowboys. So that was, it was pretty cool. All right, let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. I will not sing during this segment. Don't you worry. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's go to Boy Wonder, Ben Johnson, and we'll get his thoughts on Caleb Williams' second half struggles.
Yeah, I thought he started off really well, and then I don't know, I'll have to go back and look at it exactly where those incompletions came in, but it certainly felt like it dried up a little bit, and probably a credit to Flores and the Vikings as well.
And then let's get to Ben Johnson. I'm blowing a lead in the fourth quarter.
Have a 17-6 lead and then see it go the way it did there in the fourth quarter. You know, we said going into week one that the team that would make the least number of mistakes would win the game. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong side of that. We made too many there late in the game, myself included.
And it's going to be fascinating to see how the Bears bounce back because that coach talked a lot of smack. A lot of smack this offseason. And then with the game on the line after having a lead, didn't know how to use his timeouts correctly. They botched the kickoff at the end, even though he told his kicker to kick it out of bounds or kick it to the back of the end zone. And you saw that quarterback not look that much better. So Bears play the Lions this weekend at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Ooh, there's a lot of takes that derive from that game. If the Bears start 0-2, I think a lot of people dance on Ben Johnson's grave and Caleb Williams' grave. If the Lions start 0-2, missing the OC and Ben Johnson and missing the DC. That's what it would be. It's a good game this Sunday. All right, let's get to Caleb Williams on his struggles in the second half.
I think that just happens sometimes in games and in moments. Just got to reel it back in and go out there and execute. I think we did that on that last drive, our second to last drive that we had.
Now, I didn't listen to the whole press conference, but if I just want to hear something that comes out of that press conference is, I got to be better, we'll clean it up, and we'll get it right for next week. You know, just say that first. That's the bottom line right there. Let's go to J.J. McCarthy. He did not panic after his struggles early in the game.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're so blessed to be able to play this game. So every snap we get is a complete blessing. And, you know, that's something that I was mentioning to the guys in the huddle when we were down. Like, where else would you rather be?
You'd be upset with that in Buffalo, but good perspective. Good approach there by J.J. McCarthy. Justin Jefferson, McCarthy stayed steady despite the early struggles.
To hear our quarterback, you know, have those words and kind of lead us in that type of way is definitely something that we need. You know, not every time you hear JJ, you know, be that type of guy. But today, you know, game day, when the lights are shining, he knows how to come to work and he knows how to have that dog mentality.
I got to throw this pen because now I keep on like writing on the paper while these cuts are playing and just erasing them. And it's annoying me there. Let's get to Kyle Shanahan. He announces the injuries to George Kittle and Brock Purdy.
Juwan Jennings with his shoulder. We're still evaluating, waiting for the information to come back. George Kittle did have a hamstring. He's going to be out a few weeks. Brock Purdy hurt his left shoulder and toe. We'll see how this week goes for him.
So even when the 49ers win a game, they lose. And these injuries just continuously pile on up, and maybe they're going to bring in another quarterback. We're going to see what happens the next 24 to 48 hours. But Mac Jones would be in line to start if Brock Purdy can't go. Let's get to Xavien Howard. He throws some shade at his former teammate in Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua was patting the ball at times, you know.
Most definitely. We knew the guy, you know, he get the ball out pretty quick. And once we take away his first read, I feel like it's panic mode after that. And it showed yesterday, man. We took away his first read, and he was trying to get rid of the ball real quick.
Let's get to Mike McDaniel going off the Dolphins, right? You want to be reassured as a Dolphins fan? Well, here was his message to everyone after the Week 1 disaster.
You know, I think we watched 93 out of the 136 plays as a team today, and that is not fun. Yesterday wasn't fun, but the point is that, you know, that you want, you have to learn, and the NFL is a league of development and growth. And teams start out doing first 4 weeks is generally wild because people are figuring out who they are. You know, on paper who you think you're going to be, but in actual execution, who you are, and then molding themselves to that. And you have to continue to get better. You know, I would say the good news and the positive is I don't see how it could be worse. And I also believe in, you know, the coaches and players to get it fixed because it wasn't, you know, it's just a shame. It's you work behind the scenes for months on end and you don't show any of it. It's frustrating, but that can be a good thing. And that's what I saw from the positive. I also, you could tell, as frustrating as it was, the team didn't splinter and the effort still remained. There's things there, but overall, I'm not trying to
just stop.
Paint
please.
It glossy.
Just stop.
Glossy. I'll call it what it is. It wasn't, you know, embarrassing, that not anything that paying fans sign up for.
Oh my God. Just go the Belichick approach. Be a jerk at the podium next time. Do you sometimes feel like you could use some cardio during the show, Stu? Like,
yeah.
Right? Samter?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what we should do until Mike McDaniel gets fired? We should play a clip of his. No, don't run and play Samter. We should play a clip of his and see how many laps inside this studio, right around this desk, Samter could do during one Mike McDaniel clip. And then you'll set the tone, and then we'll do Stu, and then we'll have myself eventually go. So that could be a tight squeeze there right in front of that camera.
I was going to say the cameras might be in the way, but we'll figure it out.
It's fine. It's not the end of the world. Oh, my God. Here comes Samter. Now, Samter is now running around the room. Let's see. Oh, he just hit the chair, and he fell into the wall. You all right? Oh, no, you go that way. Go that way. Go that way. Go that way. No, it's fine if you go in front of the camera. Just go that way. Yeah.
I'm gonna die.
No. You'll be fine. You maybe you wear a helmet. Oh, is that sharp? Oh, he went under the cord. Wait, how did he not? I didn't even see him go through past the camera.
The camera.
Wait, which one's the camera?
Maybe it's too short.
Yeah. No, alrighty. I guess that's a news brief today. That's how we'll end the show. Oh my God, that guy can't be serious. Hey, you know who he reminds me of? Napoleon Dynamite. That's who it is. You just gotta stop. You gotta stop. So we'll get some cardio during the next game that Mike McDaniel has a flub in, and we'll just play it and see how long that guy could go and how many laps we could do. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Drunkle Sam says, Samter better not break the TriCaster again. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Samter, thank you. Stu, thank you. Ack, thank you. Shep, thank you. Marash, thank you. A big thank you to Ben Lieber and also Sean Merriman as well. Be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. This is the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.